but tell them it's all for the broken. 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 Tell them it's all for the broken.
Yeah.
It's all for the broken.
Yeah.
It's all for the broken.
Yeah.
It's all for the broken.
Boy, look around and need hope. No question about it. Can't
welcome, get around. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Healing Broken Souls. I am Benny Powell, pastor of Greater Second Baptist Church. Again, I'm by myself because my friend did not want to be here because he wanted to be with his family. So here I am today by myself. And what we're doing, we're just recording a few things. And so I'm going to start this off with a passage of scripture of Psalms 18, starting at verse 1. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Verse 3, I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Well, today we're coming to you to talk a little bit about why we are hurting in Psalms 18 seems like a good place to start. Oftentimes when people ask the question, why am I going through so many things? I think back with all the people that I have met in my life, and I don't believe I've ever met anyone that hasn't gone through some type of issue in their life. When I look back, I remember being young and not really sure about who I was and where I was going in life, and I was a young man, and I had a wife and some kids, a dog, and all those things, but through it all, I never had that one sense of purpose that really, 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 really gave me identity of who I am myself. You know, and some people feel like they can just simply muddle their way on through. They lose jobs, they lose money, they lose relationships, and they just keep on pretending like everything happens. Oftentimes when you feel you see someone going through something, they may have relationship issues with their significant other, their marriage is on a rock. And they always wonder, why am I the one to go through? You got a brother or a sister, and then they say, well, I'm the black sheep in the family. Nobody pays me any attention because things always go wrong in my life, or I always mess up. So they purposely are like trying to sabotage themselves. But if you really look at what's happening to a lot of people and the things that happen in their life, I would say that some of it, if not most of it, is self-inflicted. You know, and please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that problems don't come to us by outside influences. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that sometimes we pick up so many problems that's not ours, we make them ours. You know, we don't use our good rational thinking in deciding what to do next, or we don't slow ourselves down to figure out, hey, how am I really involved in this? What am I bringing to the table that I have to sit at this table with all these problems? I'm not saying don't care for your fellow man, your fellow brother, your fellow sister, or anyone. That's not what I'm saying. But sometimes it's okay to be a little selfish. It's okay to step back and say, hey, what's wrong with my life? And I found myself at that point around 33 years of age. I walked into a job. I was a painter, and I looked down that aisle of all those motorhomes, and I just said, I can't do this no more. And in fact, I was more happy that I quit the job than me not knowing where I was going to work next. And when I left, I had such a sweet release of like, okay, I don't have to do that no more. But you better find a job because you got to go home and tell your wife that you are now unemployed. Okay, so I thought to myself, okay, now what? And I was driving back because I lived in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and I was working in Decatur, and I was driving back. You know, the Spirit of God said, go to school. So I went straight to the university. And I walked in and I walked into this university and I walked the halls and nobody paid me any attention. So I said, well, maybe they don't want to help me because I'm black. Maybe they don't want to help me because I don't look like I belong. Well, my smart self didn't realize that it was summertime and ain't nobody in the building but a secretary. Okay. So that's what I brought to the table, was a sense of negativity and a sense of falseness that didn't really help me into what I was doing. So I went and found me a job at Tumbleweed Restaurant after that. After I quit a $25 an hour job to go work and make $10.50 an hour. And my wife was very supportive of me, even though I did not tell her the truth. I did tell her later when it was safe. But when I told her I was going to go to school, she was very supportive. She said, hey, let's do this. So I then went to Taylor University and I walked down the halls as I did at the other school. And I met a man by the name of Dr. David Bieberstein. And I thank God for Dr. Bieberstein even today. And he said, may I help you? And just that simple, may I help you, changed the direction of my life. It changed who I was, where I was going, and he spent the next 2 hours, and I come to find out on his day off, to help me sign up for school, pick a curriculum, but he said something in that 2 hours, and I told him what I was there for. I said, hey, I want to go to school because I want to be a preacher. He said, that's fine. He said, but Benny, until you become a preacher, become a pastor, you're going to have to eat, and let's put these classes into your curriculum. And I said, okay, which all the classes he picked, I did not like psychology and sociology and all that stuff. I didn't think, what am I going to do with this? And he put science in there. Lord knows I hated science. But after 4 years at Taylor University, that degree became one of the most important things I ever did. That started me on my pathway to being a licensed therapist. And I did not realize what God was doing at that time. But all that time in that process, the sense of hurting began to decrease and everything else began to increase. I went through what we basically called a paradigm shift in my thinking. And for those that don't know what that is, I know I just used a big word and I'm proud of myself. A paradigm shift is when one thing changes and for your thinking and then something else comes in and replaces. You know, it's kind of like when they said that the world was flat and then later on that thinking changed and we found out that the world was actually round, or when they thought that the earth was the center of the universe, and then they found out that the sun was the center of the universe. Those are paradigm shifts. So I had this great paradigm shift in my life, and I really, really wanted to believe that I had made the right choice. But even in that, all these things that were still affecting me in my previous decision-making was still having a problem. I was still having a problem in my relationships. I was still having problems with my kids. I was estranged from my family. All these types of things. But as I slowly grew closer to God and realized that all those things were just making me into the person I am today. And a lot of people don't like to go back and talk about understanding their emotion. You know, one thing I learned in this process is understanding your emotions over your intelligence. And what that means is that don't let your emotions run you. 97% of the people in the world basically make all their decisions based off of emotions, and only 3% make rational decisions. What we would like and hope is that people flip that to where 97% becomes more rational decision making and 3% is more of the emotional responses that we get. And that was taught to me many, many years ago by a good doctor friend of mine. And so what I found out is that I had to begin to anchor myself in my life. And a lot of people don't know how to anchor themselves. There's a good modality called ACT, act fact rather. And what it is trying to get the person to anchor themselves in their emotional responses, and they ground themselves due to whatever situation. And what you want to do, you want to look at what's pulling you away from your rational thinking and getting unhooked and moving to a more positive decision. This is mainly used with a lot of people that are dealing with trauma and emotional regulation, but it does work. And you know what? You may have even heard your mama or your father say, get a hold of yourself, or stop doing this or stop doing that. And those are the things that we have to really, really ground ourselves in. When you're looking at all these things, you have to have an understanding of what you're doing. Now, one thing that I tell a lot of people is find you a safe haven. And I'm not talking about an escape room like some people think it is, or a place where you can close people out. I'm talking a place where you can feel safe in your thoughts, a place where you can feel safe talking to someone. And everybody needs someone to talk to. You're not going to do this by yourself. I don't care how smart you are. I work with doctors. I work with psychologists, psychiatrists, pastors, therapists, ministers. I work with all these people, and every last one of them needs someone to talk to help them with figuring out why they're hurting. Many people have a hard time with the hurting process, with the loss of a loved one. And those are hard times to deal with. I've said before, and I'll say it again. I lost my mother last year, and that was a hurting period. But I grounded myself into understanding that God doesn't make a mistake. And everybody has to go that way someday, sometime. And so once I grounded myself and said, okay, Lord, I need you to lead and guide me. That's why I read out of Psalms 18. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my solitude. You know, so that's where I find my safe place. But even with that, you know, so I can deal with some of my hurting, I got good friends I can talk to. Our co-host, Pastor John Boyanowski, he is another person I can talk to have a safe place with dealing with some of my emotions, you know, because, you know, sometimes you need somebody to talk to when it's a personal issue. And just because we're pastors don't mean that sometimes we don't have problem in our relationships. Who am I going to talk to in the church when it's got to deal with my wife? Well, I'm not telling the church folks. Absolutely not. So I'm going to have a close friend. And me and John have been very close for over 20 years. So he's my safe place. And the one thing about John, I don't have to worry about where my information goes, because I trust him, okay? And he has proven to be trustworthy. Now, I'm not telling y'all to go out there and tell people your secrets and your darkest things inside of your heart, but if you tell someone, make sure you understand who you're giving your information to. Because if they don't truly love you and they don't truly appreciate you, that information can come back years from now and haunt you and bite you in your backside. So be careful with who you give your information to. That's why a lot of people go to therapists, a person that's non-partial to people. And even as pastor, I tell people that whatever you tell me stays here. It doesn't go out into the congregation. It doesn't go out. Because the one thing I'm more afraid of is God and him asking me, why did I tell somebody's information? So I keep that in my heart to the day I die. I don't talk to my wife about it. I don't talk to my kids about it. I don't talk to church members about it. Because when you got people who are hurting, they want to know that the safe place they come into will remain a safe place. Okay? Whether you're an adult, a young person, and even the little kiddos, they need a safe place to talk to some people as well. The other thing in life, there's our unpleasant, unplanned storms. You know, that's. I wish that there was a system to say that when this happens, do this. When that happens, do that. You know, we just saw one of the islands in Hawaii get totally burned down. And none of that was expected by any of those people that lived there. So even though the storm has taken some lives. There are still a lot of lives that were saved. And those people are going to have to pick up the pieces and start life all over again. And they're hurting and they're in need. And right now, one thing that a lot of people don't like to hear when they're hurting is, I know how you feel. No, you do not know how they feel, because that situation is unique to them and them alone. I have a twin brother, but if our father died and we have a relationship, my twin brother's relationship is totally different with our father than it is with me. And so that is not the same hurt. Even though we're twins, even though we came through the same mother and father, that hurt is uniquely his, and my hurt is uniquely mine. So be careful how you use that term, I know how you feel. No, you don't. Even if you are in that family, be careful how you use that term. Last thing, when people are hurting, their trials and them temptations are there, and they have to learn to work with them. Some people have mental health issues. Some people have addictions. Some people have battles of the mind spiritually, okay? 2 Corinthians 10 and 13 says that there is no temptation that is common to man that God won't bring you out of, but with the temptation, make a way for you to escape. Now, this escape is not like an escape from getting out of something. What Jesus does, he carries you through it, and he allows you to experience the good and the bad. Therapists help people go through things, working through the good and the bad. Each of these has to be done in the time and measure of that person's willingness. Excuse me. So be careful when you're trying to help someone dealing with a hurting situation. It's not something that simply, well, you just got to get over it. That's not the case, and everybody's not the same. So when you're hurting, be mindful of the mental, the physical, and the spiritual, because a person needs to be healed in all of those areas. All right, this has been Benny Powell, pastor of Greatest Second Baptist Church. God bless you. God be with you. See you next time.
Look around, we need hope. Dark world, we need hope. Broke world, we need hope. We all need hope, need hope, need hope. Look around, we need hope. Broke world, we need hope. We all need hope. But tell them it's all for the broken. 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 Tell them it's all for the broken.
Yeah.
It's all for the broken.
Yeah.
It's all for the broken.
Yeah.
It's all for the broken.
Boy, look around, we need hope. No question about it. Can't get around the whole world around us. Need hope. No escape.